Welcome to Rising to the Top Lessons in Leadership, brought to you by Columbia University. This is a podcast where we interview senior industry leaders who share the secrets of their success and reveal pivotal moments that impacted their career path. Come listen as they shed light on obstacles they overcame, as well as wins they achieved. Xingxing Li is COO and Managing Principal of Accelerate AI.
I think a lot of folks earlier on in their career, and I think myself included, thought of mentors as someone who is there for you and is a formal role. I try to serve as a mentor, even if I'm just having coffee with someone, right? And vice versa. I hope that there's a learning from each other.
She's a technology executive, operational integrator, and transformation leader with 20 plus years of experience accelerating scale and new revenue, modernizing businesses, and driving global digital strategy and corporate innovation for Fortune 500 companies. Xingxing has driven digital products and roadmap execution across 130 countries. She is a speaker on the topics of digital strategy and operations, portfolio performance, AI, and innovation. She has served on fiduciary and advisory boards. She holds a BS in engineering from Columbia University. So today we have with us Xingxing Li. Thank you, Xingxing, for being with us today. I'm excited to hear more about your career. I appreciate you being here as a Columbia University alum. And Xingxing, so I was wondering if, I think a good place to start would be to talk about what you're currently doing. So can you speak a little bit about your current role as COO and Managing Principal at Accelerate AI?
Yeah. So as this type of leader, I'm leading both technology as well as a cross-functional team. And I'm a leader that has global experience. So I drive growth and transformation by first developing strategy and then partnering with various teams to execute hands-on. And given that type of situation as well, I also help my clients further outside of the organization to optimize their businesses by leveraging AI and technology. I think maybe speaking to being a leader, I think one of the key aspects of being a leader is empowering teams to achieve greater results, right? And so doing that through providing them with data so that they are also on the same page in terms of the results and the strategy. And also with empathy. I think that's very key in today's world.
And you said a couple of interesting things I wanted to circle back to. Can you talk a little bit about, you mentioned that one of the things that you kind of lean into as a manager is being able to provide empathy to, I imagine, your team or those that or other stakeholders that you're working with. Can you talk a little bit more about what that looks like and why that's important?
Yeah, I think maybe just start with the internal teams first. I think that's first part of how you described being a manager. You're managing, and I really do think of that as a team, almost like a sports team, right? We're collaborating and enhancing each other's skill sets. We're complementing each other, and empathy helps us understand what are each other's drivers, what type of the same goals we want to have, and also what might be different goals, right? And how to kind of connect those. So having a strategy is important to kind of align all of those goals together, right? We have personal goals in terms of, it might be our careers, our promotions, that type of thing, right? But then there's the larger goal for a company or specifically on a project, either internally or for clients. And so that's one aspect of empathy. And I think that's really important. Additionally, for folks that we have to partner with in order to achieve goals together, it's important to understand what their drivers are and put yourself in their shoes, right? Like, I think there's a lot of complexity in larger teams. I don't know if we learn everything we need to know about matrixed organizations and all of the different things where there are handoffs between different functions. But as we are working together, it helps to understand why folks are particularly cautious about one area, right? That they may have deadlines related to one particular process, or that they've had past issues, right, with one area that is risky, right? It has a lot of P&L connected to it. So those are all things that we want to kind of recognize and see how we can drive forward together. And, you know, there's a lot of technology involved, but we know from many, many studies that projects and technology fails, not because of the technology, but because of the people involved. Right? So empathy is very important.
Yeah, well, that's great. Thank you for clarifying that. And you also mentioned, I wanted to point this out as well. You mentioned the importance of role models or potentially mentors. And there was also a point where you spoke about how you've heard people come and talk about their careers and potentially offer advice, but it's not tangible all the time. So I guess the question would be, how do you make something like that tangible so that you can, you know, activate it? And can you talk about the importance of having mentors or role models, and how did you find them?
And sometimes you also need, I want to say, an outsider's perspective, right? It might be your peers who are giving you advice, but maybe you want to seek advice from a peer who is outside your direct group, right? Who has a sense of the kind of organizational challenges, but has a different perspective on the specific individuals that you're also managing laterally or down or up, right? So I think those are good mentors to have also as you're going along. And then you mentioned another thing, Paul, which is how to recognize mentors and role models. And I'm very lucky to have had mentors throughout my career, but I think a lot of folks earlier on in the career, and I think myself included, thought of mentors as someone who is there for you and is a formal role. It's not always a formal role or a title. I think I try to serve as a mentor, even if I'm just having coffee with someone, right? And vice versa. I hope that there's I expect this in managing my teams as well, right? That there is a learning from each other, that it's not just one way. And I have found that is helpful for me to identify mentors and also role models in what resonates with me. It might not be, you know, their entire persona. It might just be something as simple as the way they carry themselves. Oh, I kind of walk like that, or I kind of talk like that, right? Like something simple like that could be almost like an inspiration for you to improve something in yourself. So, Paul, you and I were talking about how the volume on my mic is a little bit low, right? And so the volume at which I speak is something I'm aware of, for example, right? And so I pay attention to people who are able to project very well. And I also pay attention to folks who are soft-spoken but taken very seriously. So those are things that, you know, resonate with me, and I take note of and try to incorporate for myself.
That's awesome.
As an example.
That's great that you have that self-awareness.
Yeah. And I think self-awareness is a good one as well. I think, you know, as we're progressing as a student, let's just start with being a student. We take a lot of tests. Those tests measure our knowledge of a topic, sometimes our aptitude, but there are also awareness and tests for our leadership skills that I think, you know, students might find helpful and probably, you know, you guys offer at Career Services, right? So some of those things help all of us have a little bit more introspection.
So as we're talking about leadership and managing teams, I was wondering if you could speak a little bit about what is there, maybe it's one thing, maybe it's a couple of things. Has there been something that surprised you about being a manager or managing a team?
I do get feedback from my teams that they learn a lot from me and I care, and that's sort of the type of feedback I get, and I'm very appreciative of that. But I'm not sure if it's a surprise or not. I mentioned that I do expect to also learn from my team members, right? As to how I think it shows that we're in it together if we're also coming up with ideas together. And so I think that is part of the teaming, right? That we're in the tough situations together, not just the kind of smooth path that folks sometimes expect. And I think there's also I think another area I learned is how wide the range of expectations could be up and down. And what I might expect of a manager is completely could be completely different from what two different people on my team might expect of their manager. And so again, like that empathy we mentioned before is where I really do try to help each team member with their specific goals and motivations to help them perform their best, and help them the way that they can succeed, right? Like some folks just need a little bit of guidance. Some folks really want to be chatting all the time. There's just a range of styles that will help folks with their goals and achievements.
I like that you mentioned this idea of it being reciprocal learning. So it's not just you're there to offer support or knowledge to the staff members, but that you're hoping that you'll be able to learn from them as well, and then everyone comes together to come up with the best result. Because I don't know if it's always if there's always that connection. I think that's something that good leaders definitely do. So then the team members that they're supporting or overseeing feel like they have some skin in the game, so to speak.
Yeah, and it's not. I also think of it as how we best support our customers, right? I want to be able to hear the challenges that customers might be hearing, our clients might be hearing from the team members. Hopefully, it's not to the point where it's already frustrated the client so much that the team member is also super frustrated, and that's when I first find out about it, right? But if we're well aligned, we should be getting early signals, and having that 360 view of our customers is an important part of, doing well by everyone, right?
Awesome. So I wanted to talk to you a little bit and see if there were any moments that you think have been noteworthy in your career. Have there been any pivotal moments or like that Oprah aha moment where everything kind of coalesced and you're like, this is what I'm going to do? And it's possible that you may have had several of these. Sometimes people have like one inciting incident and then some people have several. Is that something that you think has happened in your career?
I actually don't think that has been something. Earlier on we said that it's not a straight and narrow path, and I do wish I had the opportunity to reflect more often. But I think having a kind of general sense of a plan is one aspect, and then more specific things that you want to achieve. It's January. I'm sure a lot of folks have their goals for the year, right? Like having a specific plan that you might have for 2024 could be, something that activates you on these are things that I want to do. But I do feel that for myself, it has been a series of pivots, and I am someone who adapts and learns quickly. So I think of these ongoing series of changes and maybe additions as ways to kind of operate at speed, right? Operate at agility, with agility. I think sometimes it's not so much like being a jack of all trades, but bringing those relevant experiences from all of these pivots in one's career, it's additive, and it doesn't negate from being deep in one area, right? These are all relevant experiences that enhance your collaboration with other teams who are like, hey, maybe they're surprised that you can speak finance, or talk about certain regulations, et cetera, right? So I think those are all really helpful for collaboration and
I
execution.
appreciate that you talked about how your career doesn't have to be linear or follow a straight path, let's say. Because I think sometimes students get stuck on this idea of this is my end goal and it's just the way that I'm going to get there. And they might not open themselves up to other possibilities. So if we were to say that your career has had these turns or these bends, what do you think accounts for that? And it seems like you're okay with that.
Oh, I'm absolutely okay with it. I do think there are themes, right? It's not that it's like a stream of consciousness, right? It's not, letting it happen. It's a set of themes that I recognize and ones that I want to perhaps emphasize and otherwise. But I do think, constant theme is things like technology, right? Being very deep in technology and having that throughout my career. But the names for those things has changed in industry, right? Things like digital. Is it still called digital? Is it, called an algorithm, AI? These types of terms change because there are certain trends and fads in the industry. But the underlying capabilities and skills are consistent. And that's what students are picking up at school, right? And so students may be told, here are some applications of what you're learning in class. But yeah, it takes time and reflection and also recognition of these are things I excel at that, I've learned not just in grad school as well as undergrad and then also had experiences in the workforce that determine a theme.
Yeah, that's great. I like that idea too of it not just being something that necessarily that either a value or something that you're good at in the workplace or in school, but something that, is true of you when you're in your personal life, right? Because we're not, it's like those things don't get separated out. Like those are part of who you are.
Right. So it may be those types of titles or roles that are formally recognized in a job description sometimes, right? But sometimes it's not. It's like what are your internal drivers. Some of the things I mentioned, like learning very quickly and being agile, that speaks to my interest in solving problems. That's a driver for me to be able to, take on challenges and take them to a final point where that problem is also resolved. Those are things that drive me. And those things could come in lots of different names. And you build a tool belt and a repertoire for that over time.
Right. And so does your organization help with the strategic element of implementing AI? Is that the type of work that it does? You mentioned that you work with your teams, but then you work with, clients, and I imagine the clients have certain data that they share with you. And then based on that, do they just come to you and say, "We would like to implement AI in a particular strategic way?" And then you help them through that, or what is the work that the organization is doing?
Yeah, what my organization has is a few products that clients can choose from to help with their AI transformation. So these are things in driving more optimized revenue, for example, or greater operational excellence. So these are things that they can choose from. For that to be successful, however, you might be familiar with a lot of technology organizations also have, things like customer success to help those of us who have questions about using a new tool that was rolled out on our desktop, right? Like things like that to make the product successful. So all of those things were still in a time when a lot of those major shifts are still happening. We know that clients also need support in those areas.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for explaining that. I'm going to kind of pivot for a moment and go back to, I want to talk about back to leadership again. And I was wondering if, do you think As someone who's working in the field of tech and I know finance previously, you've worked in a lot of these areas where they can tend to be very male-oriented. And I'm wondering if the fact that not only as a woman, but as a person of color, has that impacted you in the way that you lead or the way that you've been received in working in your career?
I think that's it's interesting how you separate those two areas out as well. How I might have chosen to lead, as well as how I might have been perceived, right? And I think it was, you know, because there were, you know, fewer role models around me, I think that that was harder for me to identify what were acceptable leadership styles. I think that that might have been one thing that I recognized, but I don't think it's affected my management style. But I can see at the same time, to your second point, Paul, how there were expectations that are sometimes projected, right? And I think of that as another layer to work with in leading, right? I think how each of us might self-identify is very personal to us. And sometimes it's overt, sometimes it's not, right? Like, I think there's lots of ways that we might think of ourselves in different contexts in terms of identity. And it might be different one day from another. But how we work with those perceptions of how those expectations may be projected on us is something we can manage, right? We can work directly with. Let's just say, you know, there are certain expectations in terms of hybrid versus back to office. I'll just use a very generic one that everyone has experience with, right? That's something that we can work with. And I would say that, you know, the expectations and projections of that are probably often misaligned too, right? Like there are folks who really want to be in the office, and there are some folks who are more productive when they're able to focus. are individual contributors, right? So I think all of those things are perhaps things that we need to find self-awareness about and then be able to communicate, and then, like many other expectations, manage to, right? Like, you know, what are preferences versus nice to haves, and also what are team expectations?
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. And so I think this is a good place to ask you, as a Columbia alum, if you have any advice for our current students about how they can make the most out of their time at Columbia, or if there's certain things that, like, if you were to talk to your younger self when you were a student, like one of those, like, I wish I knew then what I know now.
Yeah.
Do you have any advice for our students?
I think short and simple, I believe students should find ways to give back to Columbia while they're there. I think it will make your experience more valuable to you. It's how much you put in is how much you'll get back. And it could be very much in the classroom with professors, as well as with your classmates and with the larger Columbia staff. So I think there's so many ways to get involved at Columbia.
And is that something that you felt that enhanced your experience while you were a student doing that?
I think the areas where, the opportunities where I got to, you know, get involved, they were definitely very rewarding. And I wish I had done more of it. Now that I think back, you know, I think like most folks, you know, the timing has to be right. And you have to have enough balance between all of the other things that are going on. Wish I would have done more and found out more about all the things that Columbia has to offer.
Well, you're doing it now. You're doing yes, it in this podcast, yeah. And I know that you're involved with the university as well.
Yeah, yeah. So I think it's great. Columbia is always evolving, and it's the idea of alma mater. It's sort of like, you know, it's a place to kind of come home and It's an intellectual home. Thank you, Paul. Thank you for having me.
Of course.
I really appreciate this opportunity.
Thank you for listening to Rising to the Top Lessons in Leadership. For more episodes, subscribe on Spotify, SoundCloud, or Apple Podcasts. To get more information and tips on how you could advance your career, visit Columbia University's Career Design Lab at careerdesignlab.sps.columbia.edu. Thank you to Peter Shea for sound editing this episode.